What's going on, y'all? It's the Cain and Aiden pod back with another episode. All glory to God. Our first episode of 2023. Aiden, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good today, Cain. How you feeling?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Aiden, you want to introduce our guests that we got on
so
the show?
So today we actually have two recurring guests. We have my father, Joshua Lee Church, and we have our Uncle Shane, the Bigfoot hunter. But we're not here today to talk about Bigfoot. We got many things to talk about today. So, Cain, you want to get us started?
Yeah, we got many things to talk about today. So, the main reason we had these guys on the show is because they are actually in the process of building a cartoon. And we don't know anything about cartoons. So, we're going to try to learn some things today. So, start off, Uncle Shane, tell us a little bit about the cartoon in general.
Okay, so when Josh and I were younger, I don't know, we just had some life experiences that, oh my God, it kind of molded and reflected part of our humor, first of all, and then, and some of it was so outlandishly ridiculous. We were like, oh my God, we have to tell this story in some kind of format, right? So, you know, me being an animation buff and going to art school for animation, blah, blah, blah. That's what we started. We started to develop this thing like, I don't know, what, 17 years ago, I think, is when we really started to develop this. And then it just kind of evolved into something a little bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, life experiences.
Well, that kind of leads to our next question, which was, how long ago have I been working on the cartoon? Which already said 17 years, so we got that.
Well, hold on. I got something real quick, Uncle Josh. So, like, tell us, like, a little bit about, like, the idea of the cartoon for the people that don't know. Like, what's it about, that type of thing?
Like, what's the premise of it, basically?
Yeah, like, what's it called? Like, what's it about, you know?
Yeah, so the cartoon is called Thumbs Down Abilene, and basically it's a kid-sized rebellion for youngsters to be able to use their imagination and to be free and adventurous in a world that basically is oppressing on many levels. So you have two main characters, Lucky and Buzz. Then you have a lot of other other kids in the cartoon, and then a whole range of characters, man, all kinds of different personalities. But basically the idea is the premise of just like finding your purpose, when you're a kid and you're trying to just have fun and have adventure, but adults basically keep telling you what to do, and you sometimes feel confined and aren't able to grow, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because that actually kind of leads back to our previous episode we did with you, with the school system just being how they are. It kind of goes a little bit, not like exactly with that, but just kind of like the idea of like making you do things that don't help you do what you want to do almost.
Well, just think about if your parents told you to, let's say it's a Saturday and they have a list of chores for you to do, and you're doing these chores, but you're like, man, I really wish I was doing this with this person, and then it could evolve into this, and you start getting those butterflies and that excitement, and you're like, you want to do that, but instead you're just sitting there cleaning a toilet or whatever. But
yeah, you know. so some greater force is just going to slam the door on your idea and tell you what you should be doing, you know, as opposed to you just your innate using your own innate creativity and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So my next question for you guys is, so obviously you said you've been working on the cartoon for 17 years. So my biggest question is, how do you stay motivated after working on a cartoon, like on working on one project for that long?
I think Shane kind of alluded to it earlier, though, like how it sort of has changed over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've actually, the characters we originally had developed, we've actually made them younger, or actually aged some of them. We aged some of them and made some of them like kids. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of works out that way because we started finding out more things about, you know, our family, the bloodline and the the hillbilliness.
Well, you know, and a lot of times though, I mean, if you think about it, even when you talk to older people, like they tell you stories, right? They tell you the story. Like even like in our, you know, there's this idea of like respecting the elder story. And so for us, the cartoon is like, it's just a natural part of who we are. It's not real to me, honestly, and I'm sure Shane feels probably similar. it's not really work. It's more just like it's fun. And in a way, for me personally, it's been like a way to heal psychologically and emotionally by sort of processing a lot of different things, because you can deal with conflict in a lot of ways. And for us, humor has always been a way that we've dealt with it, you know, regardless of the situation. And the cartoon has always been about humor.
Okay, so
it's almost like it's like easier to come up with stuff because it's like that stuff has been around you, like, you know,
because
what I'm saying?
It's real, because we're basing it on real stuff. Yeah,
you can't you can't make this stuff up, man. That's the funniest stuff is real stuff.
Okay, so you guys have been working on it for 17 years, but going back all the way those 17 years, which is when I was born, how did the idea come about?
Shane kind of talked about a minute ago, just about just experiences, basically when we were kids, right?
Let's just say you're a kid, right? And as a kid, you're growing up and you're just trying to be a kid. And then you got all these different forces that are coming on you, and they're making you feel bad, and they're making you feel sad, and they're making you in a way to where you're like, how do I battle this? And you really don't have a skin in the game to even try to think about battling what you're going through. But later on, here we are, and we're just like, let's make this into a world. Let's like, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's revenge. It's not revenge, okay? It's like all the things and people and situations you kind of dealt with in your life, and you think about those things, and yeah, you can forgive and whatnot, but in a way you can get back at them with humor. And they'll have no idea that it's about them or, you know, in that form or fashion, but it's so liberating and funny. I can't stop laughing.
Well, Shane and I, you know, Shane and I, not just Shane and I, but all the brothers, me, Shane, and Jeff, your dad, Kane, we all come from broken homes. So like, you know, fathers that left their children when their children were young. And of course, you know, granddad came along, and, you know, we had a father in our life, and
Papa was our granddad.
Yeah. And Papa was our father too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it doesn't matter, because like whenever somebody leaves you like that or abandons you like that, you're always going to be left question. You're always going to be left with questions. And when you're a kid, you just don't understand it. And so in the instance of Shane and I, you know, going out and spending time with our parent who wasn't our primary, you know, caregiver, was like going to a whole different world. And so when you go into a whole different world and you don't understand that world, and that world has a lot of conflict and a lot of variables in it, you feel powerless, because you don't know what to do. Like Shane said, you have no skin in the game, because like you have no ability to like change anything around you. And so all you can do is observe.
We were the
observe, and as what'd you say?
So Josh and I were the different ones out there. We were like aliens out there.
Yeah, when we used to go out to Midlothian, I mean, that's what it was like. We were aliens. Like we were entering a whole different culture, a culture that we didn't understand. And really, honestly, like I don't know how Shane feels, but I feel like I had no voice. Like no one was ever going to listen to what I had to say. All I could do is sit there and listen to and try to take in what's going on around me. And it was so different than what I experienced growing up in a suburban Arlington neighborhood.
You know, I mean, how would you like to go visit your other parent, which we didn't see because, you know, he was always working and we weren't even there. We were stuck with, you know, this circus and you're just trying to like wake up and maybe play with some toys or whatever. And you've got, you know, a step person like going like in your face, like, what's the matter? It's like that close to your face. And you're just like, oh my God, where's the boundary situation over here? What is that? You know?
Just being bombarded with a lot of like ideology that was unknown to us. You know, we didn't grow up in a home where racism was a common language. You know, racist remarks, racist jokes, Mm-hmm. We didn't hear that stuff growing up in our home. So going into a smaller town and a smaller mind, you know, there was just a lot of things that just didn't make any sense. And, you know, a lot of times when you're a kid, you just smile and laugh and go along with it because it's uncomfortable, you know? And so I think in a way, like through us developing this cartoon, we're recapturing our laughter. We're claiming our laughter back.
Yeah.
And we're going to laugh on our own terms. And we're going to educate, we're going to have fun, and it's just going to be humorous because, it literally was just very, very bizarre. Like, I mean, I can't really, it was like Alfred Hitchcock to us.
It has to be a cartoon. It must be a cartoon.
So I have a question. If it was a reality show, no one's going to believe it.
I have a question that wasn't on our list, but like, I was just kind of wondering when, Uncle Josh, you were talking about it, like, how did like those feelings and like emotions like from your childhood stick with you like all that way and then eventually lead it to a cartoon?
Yeah, I mean, because I think that, you know, when you look at nature versus nurture and the development of a personality, right? You have the nature side, which is the genetic side, which is why Shane and I can have a similar facial expression and laugh in a similar way and do things, you know, not necessarily because we learn them from each other, but just because it's literally genetic. And then you have the nurture side where there's the things that you learn as you grow. And so as you're learning to grow and you're developing your personality, you start to sort of pick that apart because it gets threaded into your fabric, right? And then as you get older, you look back at your fabric and you go, I don't really recognize that part of my fabric, or I don't like that part of my fabric. Let me try to understand it. And I think that's what happens. I think when you ask like, how does it stick with you? I think that's how it sticks with you. Because you can't change what happens to you in your life, but you can change the perception that you have of it. And that's what this cartoon and other things, that's what art lets you do. Art allows you to change the perception. You get to determine, you know, how the story plays out, you know, and sometimes when you're a kid, your brain's not developed all the way and you don't have that critical thinking that you can achieve until you start to get a little older. And that's how it kind of sticks with you like that, because it can either break you down or it can build you up. You can do what you want with it, you know, at the end of the day, because it's really just going to come down to you and you, and that's it. It's just you and your mind, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what else
you get? So Uncle Shane, you talked about this a little bit earlier, but something that I'm sure a lot of people are curious about is like the animation process of a cartoon. So like, I don't know anything about that, but like, can you like break it down to us, like the whole animation process?
Oh man. So check it out. So you got to come up with the characters, right? Which we did. And then I went and started doing conceptual art, and then it kind of evolved into the way the character's going to look. And then I'll do like a model sheet. What he looks like, three quarter front, three quarter back. I don't do four views because I felt like I didn't have that kind of time really. And you know, we're kind of on a time crunch, but, once you get all that done, then you got to make the rules of the world. You know, what does the world look like? What is like ours is kind of like a period piece. You know, we're picking a certain time frame, and it's not now. You know, it's we kind of want to give a retelling of a story that could have happened, you know, in the mid late 60s. And with that comes with, you know, all the non-existent technology and just all the, you know, regular type stuff that they would do back in those times. But, you know, you got to come up with the town. You got to come up with the environment. Like, what are the rules of this world? You're the creator of this world. And so once you get all that laid out, then you collaborate with your, you know, your other half over here. And we start writing and figuring out what kind of scenario are these characters going to get into, who's in cahoots with who, and who's going to battle who, and you know, is there any drama, so on and so forth. So you just kind of start building a story, and then you start kind of chopping up some dialogue, and Josh would take it and put it in a script format, and then, you know, with the script you can figure out the timing, and it's just madness. But it's a marathon, right? Like Josh and I, we talked to some folks, and that's kind of one of the words that kept coming out is animation's a marathon. You can't rush it. You have to be very patient, and it's very, it takes a lot of time, and you got to find your, the right style, what medium you're going to use. The tools out there are limitless. So you just got to find your groove, and storyboarding helps. There was one thing I'm still working on it, but we didn't storyboard any of it. I just kind of built a set, and we just kind of let the voice actors have freedom, right? The voiceover guys to say whatever, and then I just interpreted it into the story. So, yeah, as far as animation's got a lot to it. There's a lot of working parts in that. So going from pencil to rendering to animating to, you know, capturing Foley, you know, like getting recording a stream or whatever. If you want to put some water in your, you know, you want to capture that, you got to have the equipment. And you got to put it all together, and then you got to render out a piece of video. You got to watch it. If you don't like it, you redo it. And you just keep on redoing it until you like it.
Yeah. Wait, I want to ask too, though, like what was like the Foley process like for this? Because I remember we had to do a Foley project in school, like this Ratatouille scene, and I like did it, and I was like, boy, this is so hard. It sounds terrible. So like, how do you guys do that?
As far as the Foley goes?
Yeah.
Well, it just depends on, you know, what it is. So since Josh and I are a two-man group on this, you know, two-man band playing this concert, I resorted to a website of sounds that I contribute to, like not with sounds, but like I'll give them donations and stuff, right? And it's from all over the world, and people compile together and put sounds they recorded, like a dog barking, I don't know, chains rattling. You can type in anything, you can find it. If you want to find a fart on there, you can. There's like 80 of them. There's like 80 different farts on there.
Yeah, we have some characters who fart pretty frequently, to be honest.
I'm sure. Yeah, we got one of them going through all 80 of those.
Oh yeah. We went through about maybe 40 one day.
Yeah, and we will. And Shane and I both we each have a task cam, so like we can also record sounds. Like if we're out, you know, out and about, we can make the sounds, record the sounds. You know, we even had one of our friends create music for us, and he was incorporating the sounds into that music, into like this hillbilly waltz that like tells the story of the giant troll that's going to come down and wreck the town if the tribute isn't paid on a yearly basis. So I'm just giving you a little slice of it there. We don't talk too much detail about the cartoon because, you know, obviously in this type of, you know, current society and technology, the ease of it, you know, people will just steal your stuff real quick.
And we've already pitched it too.
Yeah, we have already pitched it, and our characters are copy. We have them copyrighted and all that kind of good stuff too. But, you know, your initial question when you're asking Shane about animation, you have to look at it. When it comes down to animation, it takes an entire studio. It takes an entire team. You know, so like when Aiden was asking the question earlier, like what keeps us committed? Like what keeps us moving forward? I think it's also just being realistic about understanding that we're putting in the part that we're doing, the creative aspect, that's not easy. that's, as far as animation goes, that's difficult. But if you get enough people, you get a big enough team, you can get that done. But what you can't get done is all of the stories and all the character attributes and all of that stuff, because that stuff takes something I think that Shane and I both possess in abundance, and is probably one of our gifts, is that we're quick-witted and we can come up with stuff really fast, and it's, we're very dynamic, and we can make something that's real funny real quick and have a good time. And a lot of people just can't do that.
Yeah, we can fill in each other's gaps real quick when we're talking about any kind of developmental story or situation that happens to do with any of the characters. So
yeah, and see, I do a little bit of art too, but like I can tell Shane, like, okay, you know, I'm thinking of a character. This is what the character is going to be. This is going to be, you know, it's going to be this guy. He's a luchador. He's a salesman. He sells brooms, right? And you know, he has a starfish on the center of his head, and he runs through the jungle, and he's hypoallergenic. So every time something touches him, he swells up as he's trying to track down the broom that has brown hair, and he carries the blonde one that he always claims is the love of his life. So who's going to come up with that?
Yeah.
Like, I can tell Shane that, and then he knows exactly. I can draw him. I can draw something, you know, loosely and go, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And then he can come back and he'll hit me with like 3, 4, 5 different, you know, 5 different things that he sketched out. And I'll be like, hell yeah, that's it. It's number 3, dude. Like, that's
I'm fixing to die. Hang on.
I'm like, that's the guy. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and then then the character El Tostón is born, you know? And El Tostón says, you can't have my broom, man. You can't have it. You can't have the love of my life. She's my
broom. You can get one, but you can't have mine. Yes.
So since you guys kind of already talked about characters for the most part, we'll move on to the next question. What would you say to somebody that like has interest in making a cartoon, like wants to make a cartoon? Uncle Josh, you could start if you want.
I mean, I think that anybody who wants to, you kind of asked me this question before just about kind of my advice in general. And I don't know if it's just about making a cartoon, but just creativity and just creativity as a whole. Whatever it is, just, you know, be passionate about it. Keep chugging away at it. Don't give up. Don't listen to anybody. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. And just realize that sometimes it feels really overwhelming. And that things are not just going to happen, especially in the world we live in now where everybody wants everything in a click. You know, it's like if I tell people, yeah, me and my brother, you know, we've been working on a cartoon. Oh, let me see an entire episode. It's like you don't understand like, anything about cartoons. If you're asking about an entire episode, you have no clue.
Well, you can see the episode in written format on this part. You can see what the characters look like on this part.
Yeah.
We might have a storyboard animatic for that little part over here you can watch with sound. You know, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. So I would tell that person that, you know, it's going to take a team of people and they're going to need a variety of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I feel like we kind of already mentioned, you know, what it takes, but run us through like a day in your life when you guys are working on it, because like you guys both have other jobs. So I assume it's not like an all day thing, right? So like talk about like when you're going to work on it, like how much do you work on in a day?
Up until was it October, I did have all day to work on it. So it was grab a cup of coffee then. And I have a stand-up situation going on in the study so I can stand up, and I've got a big 4K screen where I could put everything up there and have room for everything. And I don't know, man. It's not like I had a schedule of things to do. It was basically whatever Josh and I would talk about in the morning. And then the day before when he was driving home from work, and just try to flesh that out. But it would be all day, man. Like I'd spend like the morning, most likely rendering characters. If there was somebody new, I wanted to render them out. What do they look like in full color? You know, and then from there I would switch and maybe do a little bit of branding. Like, we're going to have this store in the town. What does it look like? What's the branding? What do they have a catchphrase? You know, I think about that kind of stuff for a while. And then I would get into the animation and that usually starts off with the last clip I rendered. What does it look like? So I'd watch it and go, oh, well, I need to fix that. And I go fix it. And then once I rendered it out and it looked fine, then I'm like, okay, now it's time to add. And I would add a little bit more. I mean, it took me, Josh, how long did it take me? It took me like, I don't know how many months to get like 6 minutes of animation done. Mm-hmm. But, you know. And it's not like full blown Disney, you know, every frame hand moving, like, you know, it's I would say it's stylishly minimal is what I would give. But I love it. And the artwork I did, I'm not tooting my own horn, but it's beautiful. It's pretty, man. It's like it encompasses like our youth and what we used to watch on TV. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would do that until, I don't know, about 4:30 or 5, and then my brain would just leak out of my ear, and it would be time to rest and start up all over again the next day. You know, talk to Josh on his way home and start up the next day. You know.
Yeah, but even before we Shane had that opportunity to work on it for a year, it was always just, you know, Shane and I are both early birds. We're early risers. And me, I do my best thinking in the morning. You know, a lot of my greatest thinking happens in the very, very early part of the morning. And so we would just wake up every day and just, you know, we kind of keep with the Walt Disney phrase, which is just keep moving forward. And so as long as you're doing something, as long as I open up a script and I add like a couple of interactions, that's something, mm-hmm. you know, just getting it. Cause basically our goal, our dream for True Roots Productions, cause that's the name of our company. We never actually mentioned that. Thumbs Down Abilene is a True Roots Productions, you know, cartoon series. But we just get up and, you know, get it to a point where it's like one day we know that we're going to have the team and the manpower that we'll be able to just descend, you know, just unveil this on the world. And people are going to be like, holy crap, because Shane's a marketing guru as well. You know, mm-hmm. so like this cartoon embodies like the spirit of the Little Rascals, but also, you know, the style of Looney Tunes and, you know, Tex Avery. With a little bit of Ren and Stimpy, you know, combined, you know, you remember how you watch cartoons sometimes and somebody's ear will like pull all the way over, like, you know, 2 feet and then snap back. You know, we like that kind of stuff. We want to bring back some of that old school kind of cartoon stuff. Mm-hmm. And we also like to be very, you have to be kind of smart to figure out our humor. It's not just like straight vulgar in your face. You know, mm-hmm. there's certain places we don't take it. You have to put pieces together. And we kind of miss that. We miss that in cartoons because a lot of times now everything can just be so vulgar and in your face.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, that's not really that funny. And it doesn't really take a lot of creativity to do that. No. You know, mm-hmm. it's easy to say a lot of cuss words and things like that. But if you can create situations where people have to use their brain and you know, use context clues to put it together and go, oh, my, okay, whoa.
That's crazy. Everybody thinks differently, too. So I bet you can ask a room full of people and they'll give you a room full of different answers of what they thought we were trying to portray, you know?
Yeah. And that's what art's supposed to do, you know?
Almost like leaving room for conspiracies kind of in a way.
Yeah, possibly, you know?
I mean, because like the Simpsons have like the future predicting and all this stuff. There's like so many conspiracies behind it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of scary. The Simpsons did a good job of that. You know?
mm-hmm. Actually, okay, one question I have for y'all was like, when it comes like, other cartoons, other movies, like what would you say like a big inspiration for you guys, like as far as like other like media?
Man, that I could probably go first because it'll be real fast. Shane has a lot probably because he watches way more cartoons and things than I ever could. But you know, like for me though, it's just anything that has a revolutionary spirit to it. You know, as far as animation goes, the Boondocks, you know, for sure. Kind of, you know. I like the idea of just kind of standing up and being counted, you know, and not being scared to just push forward on what you believe in and having fun and laughing about it all along the way. My favorite book of all time is The Autobiography of Malcolm X, right? So if I was born in the 60s, I probably would have been on one of those buses, the Freedom Rider buses where, you know, they were attacked. So.
Mm-hmm. I started off loving Tom and Jerry. In fact, I used to watch Tom and Jerry so much that let's say when Jerry came in his mouse hole and he was going to pick up something, okay, whatever it is in his little nightstand by his bed, I knew what he was going to pick up. I already knew because I could tell what was the background and what was on a cell waiting, you know, because in that cell, it's got to be there. And when he comes up to it and he picks it up, well, that cell that was there, that's gone. And there's other cells there that are showing the animation of him drinking a cup of water out of a thimble or whatever it was.
Wait, one thing I want to point out real quick.
Yeah.
Is that you guys are always, you know, kids these days on the technology. And you just mentioned how you used to watch Tom and Jerry so much, man. So I'm going to remember that for next time y'all make a comment about us watching TV or being on our phones too much. I'm going to remember that right there, man.
Aiden, cartoons were on for like an hour in the morning and then that was it. That was it, dude.
That don't matter, man.
The rest of the day.
Don't matter, man.
That's all I was waiting for was for that moment. I heard what I wanted to hear, man.
So matters.
There was no Cartoon Network, man. And you got to watch cartoons on Saturday morning, and then that was it. That was it, dude.
Honestly, until I feel then. Like cartoons, like they were like really good, like in y'all's day, and like we had a lot of good cartoons too. But I thought they're kind of like fading out in a way. I mean, that's kind of like maybe it sounds lame because like say they're getting worse over time? Because I know it's like a kind of like an old thing to say. It's time for
a good polishing, man. A good polishing of
some because like
animated content, you know?
Like The Simpsons, like they're still around, but they're kind of past their prime. Same thing with Family Guy. Like a lot of those shows, they're kind of like, they're still like funny, but they're still, they're past their prime. You know what I'm saying? It's time for someone new to step in.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of how we that's where Thumbs Down Abilene comes in, because I just think that our characters, I just love our characters, man.
Me too.
I think our characters are so different and so dynamic. You know, a lot of cartoons that I watch, even like that I see, like South Park, you know, Family Guy, a lot of the characters look very similar to me in some ways. There's even characters that you could just change like just a few things and it would be that character. You know, I don't think our characters are that way at all. I think our characters are very unique. There are no characters in our cartoon that could be easily transformed into the other one.
And I've added more characters since our pitch, because they didn't say they hated it or said anything negative about it at all. They actually said they liked it. But the only constructive criticism they had was to add like some female main characters. And I was like, awesome. So that's, I did that. That's done. And now we're just going to rework our strategy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, so you just mentioned like pitching your cartoon. So I'm not really sure if you're allowed to say who you pitched it to. So I won't go into detail on that. But can you kind of just like tell us about what it was like pitching your cartoon to like a bigger studio?
To an actual studio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The studio was Real Effects. And they've got a pretty damn good portfolio of work. Book of Life, if you've ever seen the Book of Life.
That's a well-known one, but I wasn't a big fan of it.
Well, it's not for everybody.
I'm more of a Coco guy, man. What can I say?
Not every movie's for everybody, right? They got a series on Netflix right now with the big robot brothers or something like that. I only watched that one episode.
Yeah.
But that's groundbreaking because they're actually using real actors to act them out in real time. And they're using
mocap,
the real engine. So it's like when they film that, when they're recording that digitally, it's actually really happening in real time with people. It's so cool. That's actually cool. Real effects is definitely on the cusp of a new cutting edge type of a genre, I would say.
Well, the crazy thing is that you were asking about the pitch, and like as we were preparing for the pitch, you know, like right before it happened, some things went wrong, you know, like some slides just like nothing had gone wrong the entire time that we've been working on this thing, man. And then like all of a sudden, like 30 minutes before, like slides were disappearing from our presentation, things weren't working right, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, to be able to talk to a major studio and to be able to share our ideas and to show them the passion that we have, because this is a passion project. This is not something that was just created just to create something to make people laugh. Like this project has a lot of passion behind it. And I think because we have that passion going into the pitch, it made me feel more confident. You know, like I felt confident going into the pitch because I was like, it's not hard to talk about the things you love. It's not hard to talk about the things that you care about. That stuff comes out real easy. And when people see that, they know that it's organic. And so when things are real, it's more appealing. You know, we weren't trying to sell them an idea. We were trying to get them to help bring a passion to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So. But it was cool, man. It was really cool. It was really exciting. I remember going out to eat afterwards and, you know, we were really excited about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in this industry, but, you know, we were very proud of ourselves. It was kind of a defining moment, you know, especially considering, we've been working on the cartoon for so long, but True Roots Productions only been around for 2 years, you know? So that's only, we've only officially been, you know, a company for 2 years. So it just takes time, and it was a really great opportunity to be able to talk to somebody that's a real player in the game.
It felt good to have a real animation studio look at our work and go, "Man, that's cool," you know. Or, I like that.
Well, I think too, this is a little off topic, but like, I feel like too, your cartoon, I think it kind of fits in with like media coming out now, because like we kind of live in a day, almost like an old head, but like we kind of live, like as far as media right now, it's a lot of remakes. It's a lot of sequels, unnecessary sequels, unnecessary prequels. Like, yeah. I mean, they're making Diary of a Wimpy Kid animated like movies now. And like, we watched the first one, it sucked. But like, I don't think anyone was looking for a Diary of a Wimpy Kid animated movie, because it's already passed its generation. Like, we're the kids that they were advertising to, and we're already like 16, 17 now.
Well, and those books have a certain gravitas to them, you know? They don't move. Mm-hmm. They're in black and white, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You open them up. No, you're fine, honey. You open it up. I mean, it's kind of like reading an old comic strip, you know? Everything that the artist puts in there, like all the action, all the shots that they're trying to show from different points of view for the mood and stuff. You can capture that in a movie, but I mean, you really have to do your homework on the actual book and just not take the characters right out of the book and throw them over here and say, there they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what they did.
Aren't they? They're 3D, right? They're
yeah, CG. In the movie. It was bad.
Color now.
I know. And like Riley looked like he had like braids in his hair. Like it was just bad. Like it was just completely off.
It just doesn't work, man, like that.
Yeah. I think they tried to do that with Scooby-Doo when they tried to make Scooby-Doo all like 3D and all that, which is fine.
Like they made them live action?
Yeah, it looks good and everything, but like if you go back and watch the old school cartoon, it's just hard to remake. It's hard to recapture that.
Yeah, there's a certain a feeling that's it's there. It's embedded. And unless you lived in that time or you fully understand it, you're not going to be able to replicate that so well.
A lot of these cartoons are like formula cartoons kind of too. You think like Scooby-Doo, like every episode kind of has the same premises. It's always the guy that didn't think it was going to be, they take off his mask and it's him, and then they take off another mask.
I got away with it, Fortnite, you're meddling kids.
Yeah, it's just like always taking off a mask. Or same thing with Tom and Jerry was entertaining. Tom and Jerry's every episode is trying to catch him, but they did like a good job of like switching.
Yeah, no, that one's good. I feel like some of the new stuff is kind of mid too. Like the new movies, and like the new media now is it's not original. Like the new, but they're like Buzz Lightyear movie. Yeah, it's new because we took an old character and it was not good.
Yeah, we took the toy, but we made him real. Yeah,
but think about it, it's really every media. Like they made It Chapter 2, like the new It, which I'm not hating on. It's probably, I mean, I haven't watched it, but I mean, I don't think the reviews are horrible.
Oh man, they did that thing justice.
They did it good? I wasn't sure, but just it. I think that movie's old, so I feel like a remake's not bad, but like Pet Cemetery, like
the original
that remake of Pet Cemetery was bad. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And they made the little girl they trying to switch it up, and it wasn't it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of done with all the remakes.
Finally, last question we got for you guys is, where are you currently at in the process of the cartoon? I know you mentioned that you didn't have a full episode yet. Like, where are you guys at in the process? Like, what's it looking like?
It's looking awesome, man, because I've been working on this short that puts all of our main characters in a situation. There's a cause and effect, and there's an outcome. So it kind of gives you the whole flavor of the series. And I think I got it. I've been telling Josh just like, dude, I'm onto something with this. Mm-hmm. It's awesome because a lot of the character development's been done. And we've got a bunch of characters. And usually like people will go in with like, I don't know, six or seven or whatever, a handful.
A whole world.
Pretty much. I mean, we've got a real effects compared to what we were showing them to The Simpsons. Like, that's how many personalities and characters we had was on that, you know, that pedestal of this quality of The Simpsons. And I was like, hey, I'll take it. I'll take that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. And even on my way home to get here to do this, I was dictating on my phone in my notes because I've got this in my head. And when I'm driving, I mean, I'm in traffic, right? So it just kind of pours out. It poured out this morning too on my way to work. So, yeah, man.
I think we're always we continue to push it and grow it and bring things together. I mean, coming out of that Real Effects meeting, like Shane said, you know, there were certain things that they said, hey, well, you know, you might want to, you know, where are your female characters in this regard? And of course, we didn't have all of our characters to show them. They could have seen that we had more.
Yeah, we weren't going to steal all the queens.
Yeah, but they massaged that idea because, like, we always wanted to have, like, almost like a Little Rascals, you know, kids, you know, type of dynamic. And to kind of get that other side of it where you have these main characters that are, you know, mostly boys, trying to, you know, doing their thing and seeking adventure, and then bring in something that can be equal, like a group of females that come with a whole nother perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just in life in general, we know the difference in the dynamics, you know, even being on the playground when we were little, you know, playing with girls, you know, with the boys and girls, and the way they interact, just bringing those personalities to the forefront, because one of those groups has a more like a raw way of inventing and creating and doing things. And then the other one has more of a more refined way, more thought out way, you know, kind of ways of doing things. So even though you're doing the same things, you're doing them in different ways. And so you get that really cool interaction, you know?
Hey, I can just say this, dude, like the girl characters, after working on them for the last couple of weeks, I'm really, you know, polishing them up. Man, I'm just as excited about them as I am our original male leads, you know, like they're hilarious. And I, you know, of course that's all going on in my head, but, it'll come out. It's, mm-hmm. it's going to be awesome. And, in fact, Josh, I'll have to get with you sometime this weekend, call you or something.
Making plans over here, man. Look at this.
I need to
this is a professional zone, man. It's a professional zone.
I gotta catch him up on what I've just been, because I'm trying to contain it and then unleash it all at once, but I can't, man. This is where I'm like, man, Josh has got to, you know, bring his writing sense into this. So,
yep. So that's where we are, Kane. We are where we've always been, which is, you know, keeping to adding to it and growing it, but we're at a much we have a lot more at our discretion. All of that work has got us to a point where we can be in a position that there's no way we could have been in, you know, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we just keep moving and building on it and pushing it, man. And one day you're going to see it.
Mm-hmm. There it is, folks.
I'll be voicing the character.
Yeah,
you hearing me on there, man?
No, we need to get Kane named on it. What are the chances we get a Kane named?
Let's be like a little side characters, man.
Guest star.
We'll be like, I mean, if you want to, we can just bring y'all in on the train on the opening credits, and y'all can be conducting the train, talking to each other, hosting the podcast till it pulls up.
Dude, they could host like anything that happens like in the town square, like any kind of
street,
you know, commentary. Yeah. They could commentate.
They could commentate on the Rednecks games.
Yeah.
The Rednecks games. I didn't know about that, but that definitely sounds like something I need to hear.
All right.
Y'all could have a blast for that, man. You know, people bobbing for pig snouts and stuff. Yeah, man. Y'all love that.
Dude, we're down. Kane Maiden in the cartoon.
Yeah, bro. X. You know, pick up truck spas, man. You know?
Bro.
Pick up truck spas. Is that shit real things, or are you just making stuff up?
I mean, some of it's real, some of it's stuff.
I mean, I can believe it though. I mean, it sounds believable.
Creating on the fly, man. You know, you know.
But all little, right, y'all.
Little piglets running around with mullets. You know.
That's gonna do it for us. You guys can catch us apparently on the cartoon as well as here.
Apparently,
we got a lot of good stuff coming at you. Fire guests coming up. But for now, the Kane and Aiden Pod. Signing off.